Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I have to thank the praise team again because they are giving us the blueprint on how to fight battles and how to walk in the victory Jesus won for us.
Amen.
Welcome to the church house. We bless you from the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 118, verse 26. I'm Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to introduce our teaching pastor, O. Runner for Christ Ministries is a church of teaching, learning, and doing. Thankfully, this short time we spend on earth is an open book test. Each of us comes to this hospital for sinners as we are, but we don't stay as we are. This feast we are about to receive is an all-you-can-eat buffet because after the service is over, you can listen to it again on rfcm.org. Today's message is titled, Love in Action. The text comes from Romans 12, verse 9 through 21. So turn or click in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 12, verses 9 through 21, and I'll be reading from the NLT. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads, and the Lord will reward you. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Amen.
Amen.
Let's receive Pastor O with open hearts as he delivers a message titled, Love in Action. So church, repeat after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Make it plain for us.
Make it plain for us.
Amen. How's everybody doing this morning?
Yes,
amen. That's awesome. That is awesome stuff right there.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me see if I can get some light here. Well, we had difficulties this morning. We must have some freaking kill this. Give me some money. Yeah, let me see. Oh, no. That is just
Joffle. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, there we go. How's everybody? What am I doing with this thing? All right, this is supposed to be my, water. Okay, is this one? Yeah, that's mine. Yeah, they put that up there for me. Amen, praise the Lord. How's everybody doing this morning? Good to see each and every one of you. Amen, let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Thank you for once again giving us another opportunity while we're on earth to do what Hebrews tells us to do. It tells us to not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, which is the custom of a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ, but Jesus, that's not us this morning, and we thank you for that. Bless this people now to receive this word that you gave me. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me, say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your word today.
Lord, bless my heart.
So it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts are not like yours. But I'm here today to be transformed. To change the way I think to the way you think. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's time for us to do our review. But this week, we're going to make it a little quicker and a little simpler. Because I know all of you already know what's in each chapter. So now what we're going to do is segment the book. We're going to compartmentalize discussions. Okay? For instance, chapters 1 through 3:19, what we get there is in chapter 1, remember this, Jesus is the only way to be saved. Okay, ignorance is no excuse. In chapter 2, no, the law will not save you just because you have it. Because you have it and you're not keeping it, and God didn't give it to you to be saved. He gave it to you to show you need to be saved. And then in chapter 3, everybody's brought under indictment. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, you're in sin. And the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against you. Amen. So how do we get out of that conundrum? Then we come to chapters 3, verse 20, all the way to chapter 5 and the end. In chapter 3, God has provided a way for us to be made right with him himself. And so we have righteousness by faith. And since we have righteousness by faith, that means in chapter 4 we've been what? Justified. And because we are justified, in chapter 5 it says, because we are justified, we have what? Peace with God. Amen? And then we come to chapter 6, 7, and 8. Again, in chapter 6 we get out with the old, in with the new. In chapter 7 we have what? The conundrum. That's when we find out that there's a fight going on between our spirit and soul, which is into God, but then our flesh didn't come along for the ride, so there's that battle back and forth, right? Chapter 8 tells us that because we're in Christ, there's no condemnation to us, right? It tells us, but just because we're in Christ doesn't mean that we get to continue in dead works that produce nothing. But if we follow after the Holy Spirit, then we get production, right? We get good things start happening. It also tells us that we are heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Once we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we gained that status. Amen? It also tells us that God, what? Causes all things to work together for our good. That is not saying that everything that happens to us is good. But when something happens to us, we should look for God to make it work for our good. You know Joseph's story, right? None of it was good. Hated by his brothers, thrown in a pit, sold into slavery, accused of rape, 13 years in prison, now he's in front of Pharaoh. Pharaoh makes him prime minister. His brothers show up. They think Joseph's going to kill him. But Joseph said, no. God, you intended evil. You was all the way on purpose evil, wanted me out. But God re-meant it for my good. So God caused all of that to work out for what? Not just Joseph's good, but for Egypt's good and for all the nations around Egypt because they fed everybody. Amen?
Yes.
And chapter 8 closes by telling us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not our silliness, our sins, our unwillingness to follow Christ, that won't do it. Demons can't do it. Angels can't do it. Nothing in heaven and earth can separate us from what? The love of God. Now 9, 10, and 11, it's easy to remember those chapters, right? In chapter 9, we're talking about what? Election. God's chosen people. In chapter 10, we're talking about what? Rejection. Because God's chosen people rejected God's way of making them right with them. They didn't want righteousness by faith, Malachi. They wanted to work for it. I know you like, that's crazy. But yeah, that's what they wanted. They wanted to work for salvation. They wanted to live in such a way that Jesus is like, oh, you need to come on into heaven right now, Marcus, because you're just awesome. Amen. But it wasn't working like that. We serve a holy and just God, and he demands perfection. And guess what? We're Aaron. We ain't perfect. We mess up. Amen. But nothing in heaven and earth can separate us from God. And God's only way to be saved, if we confess out of our mouth what we believe in our hearts, will be what? Saved. Amen. And that's about Jesus. He also says over there in verse 17, consequently, faith comes by what? Hearing the word of God. Amen. Amen. So in chapter 11, we think what word? Restoration. So we have election, but then they rejected the election. And then we have restoration. What is that talking about? God's going to get that remnant of Jews, that remnant of Israel, to be saved. Amen. We know that to be to happen during the fifth sign of the second coming of Christ, when the Antichrist declares himself Christ and goes into the temple to do so. That's when the Jews revolt. And the sixth sign is Jesus protecting them from the onslaught of the Antichrist. And so that remnant then, during the tribulation period, finally comes in. And of course, the seventh sign of the second coming of Christ is Christ actually coming back to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Amen? Amen? And so that's chapter 11. Then we came to chapter 12. Paul sort of reconnects to chapter 8. If you read Paul's writings, normally he talks about the theology, the theological understanding of our relationship with God. And then he talks about the practical, how we actually live out that on earth until we get to heaven. But then we have chapters 9, 10, and 11. We call them the parenthesis chapters. Why? Because they seem like they don't belong in the conversation, but they do. Amen. So Paul in chapter 12 goes back to how to live this out. He says, first of all, your body belongs to Jesus Christ. We know that from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, right? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Amen. And who paid the price? Jesus Christ. So who owns us? Jesus Christ. Amen. So you are not free to do whatever you want to do. Whereas you used to get permission from sin, I want to break a window, sin be like, have that. Amen. Now you belong to Jesus Christ and you say, Jesus, I want to break a window. He say, we don't do that.
Right.
We don't do that here. Okay. So we don't break people's windows. If anything, we go over there and help them wash them. Amen. But we don't break people's windows. So in other words, now Jesus gets to tell you what to do with your body. If you felt like it, Shirley, if you wanted to slap somebody, you just slapped them. You ain't asked nobody. They needed to be slapped, so you helped them out. You slapped them. But now, before you swing, Aaron, you got to, Jesus, can I finish this out? And he'd be like, no. Forgive them. Have mercy on them. Like God had mercy on you. Let it go. Let it ride. Like God let all your stuff ride. Amen. Amen. So he says, I own your body. It belongs to me. I purchased it with my blood. So you can no longer do whatever you want to do. Okay, you need to get permission from me. Amen. Amen. And he said, well, how do we get our bodies under control? Amen. Well, the way you get your body under control is changing the way you think. You read the word of, you cannot live this Christian life without feeding on the word of God. You will be a malnutrition Christian acting crazy because you're hungry. Amen. You know how we get when we get hungry, right? We be hangry, hungry and angry. Amen. We want something to eat. We go to the restaurant and they say, you got to wait. It'll be 45 minutes. And then we take that two step. Amen. I ain't waiting no 45 minutes. This is fast food. I want my food fast. And I want my food cheap. And I don't want salmonella or it's crazy cousin E. coli. Amen. 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 So the Lord says transformation has to take place. And the way we transform is by reading the Word of God. Because what's going to happen, Cheryl, I mean, Mother Hamilton, it's going to automatically, amen, challenge you. You're going to read the Word of God and you're going to like, well, I don't do that like that. Okay, I do that like this. Well, the Word of God says you got to switch that to this. That's what the transforming part is. And it's not easy. Because you have to tell yourself to do it. The Lord says, this is the way I need you to do that, but you are on, you're the one going to have to do it. Let me give you an example of that. Abraham, take your only son, Isaac, the one you waited all these years for. Take him up on the mountain that I'll show you. I bet Abraham like, why you can't just tell me everything up front? Why you always got to show me? Amen. Take him up on the mountain that I'll show you. So they start walking. Amen. And God said, that's the mountain over there. He gets so far up the mountain. Amen. And he tells his three children, his three servants, look, stay here. I and the lad are going to go over there and worship. Amen. Abraham went up that mountain and transformation happened. Can you imagine what he was thinking on his way up that mountain? He waited 25 years and went through that, you know, the Hagar incident. Amen. He waited 25 years, the Hagar incident, and now he has this child. And the Lord is telling him to sacrifice his child. Amen. That's doing what God tells you to do. Ed, that wasn't easy. Amen. Cat, I mean, Deaconess Clyburn, that was not easy. Amen. Take your kid that you waited 25 years to get. You was old as dirt. You was 100. She was 90. Amen. And God said in chapter 17 to Abraham, you're going to have a child and it's going to come from Sarah and it ain't Ishmael. Then he came back in chapter 18 and Sarah overheard the Lord telling Abraham, Sarah's going to have a baby. Sarah laughed. Amen. So it wasn't easy to do what God said. But the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that Abraham reasoned in himself that God was able to raise the dead. And he based that of what God said. God said in chapter 17 or in chapter 22, because you have not withheld your only son Isaac from me. Everything I promised you in 17 about 400 years of slavery, you're going to come out of that and God's going to bring you out and make a great nation out of you.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. So Abraham knew the promises of God. It changed the way he felt. I don't know if he told Mother Hamilton, I don't know if he told Sarah, I'm finna go sacrifice Isaac. The Lord done told me sacrifice Isaac on the mountain. I think he got up early and told his servants, hey y'all, I done been up all night. I ain't even slept. God done told me something real weird, and I need y'all to go with me. Don't wake Sarah up. Amen. Because what do you think that would when he went to Sarah and say, hey, I'm going to go kill Isaac. And Sarah said, why are you going to do that? Keely said, because Jesus told me to. Amen. It's like Mary when she got pregnant, right? And Joseph say she went to visit Elizabeth for 3 months. When she came back, she's showing. Amen. She's showing. And Joseph like, what's up? You got a boyfriend? Amen. What's up? You got a boyfriend? What's up? You been eating too much? What's up? See, like I'm pregnant. Well, who the daddy? Because I ain't slept with you. Who the daddy? Who the pappy? Amen. You knew it was coming, right? Who the pappy? And she say, Jesus the pappy. Aaron, Keela pregnant. Imagine y'all married, Keela pregnant. She tell you Jesus did it. How you feel? How you run with that? Your fellas, you go with the fellas. They say, I see your girl pregnant. Yeah, Jesus did it. Hey, Amen. You got to believe God. Amen. Amen. God had to help Joseph out. You know, because it's like, dude, okay, Jesus did, I tell you what, I ain't going to tell nobody, but we getting a divorce. Amen. So we have to be transformed. And that transformation takes place by reading and studying the Word of God. There's no other way to become who you're going to be forever other than by reading the Word of God. It's going to challenge you. You might spend your money crazy, but it tells you over here to be a good steward over the things that God has given you, to make wise use of them things. Amen. So the Word of God is going to transform the way we think. Why? Because every time when you read it and internalize it, when an opportunity comes up, the Holy Spirit does what? What is his job? He shall bring to your what? Whatever who said? Whatever Jesus said. And so when you internalize what Jesus said and you get ready to lie, me, the Holy Spirit is going to say, don't you know God hate lies? And you're going to be standing there in front of somebody, they're going to be like, did she go to sleep? She was trying to say something. Is she having a kung fu moment? Y'all remember kung fu? Could you imagine fighting with kung fu? Y'all really getting at it, right? Then all of a sudden, he go into one of his past things, and he just stand there. He in the past seeing his life before he got here, and y'all fighting. But he done went off. Amen. So we got to be transformed. If you're not reading the Word of God, you are not transformed. You are not changing. You've gotten saved, and you still handling life with the same old thoughts you handled it with before, the same old way you did before. But we cannot do that and be who we are. See, look, we're in Satan's world. We wrestle not against what? But what? Spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen? And Satan knows us. Y'all remember the seven sons of Sceva story, right? Right? They heard somebody over here. You know how we like to do. We got to, most of us got to hear say gospel is what we heard somebody say. So they heard Paul say, in the name of Jesus, I cast you out. And they saw the demon leave. They're like, oh, snap, we finna get paid. We can cast the demon out of people's kids and get paid. People out of their husbands and wives and get paid. So they went and found somebody, and this person was literally possessed with a demon. They actually found, could you find somebody and say, oh, this person possessed with a demon? Would you even know? But they knew. And they stood there, Rebecca, they did that Charlton Heston thing, backed up and stepped sideways and said, in the name of Jesus, come out of them. Now, when they heard the name of Jesus and saw the Charlton Heston stance, they got scared because they saw that before in Egypt, right? They're like, okay, is this from the tear us up? But the demon said, wait a minute. You don't go to Bible class. You don't read your Bible. You talking like you a Christian, like you a mature Christian and can cast me out like Paul did my cousin over there in Philippi. Yeah, we know about Paul because he cast my cousin out. So we don't bother with him. He'll send us into the abyss. And we know Jesus. Now, how many of y'all know when Jesus was here, them demons used to walk up on that body? See, Jesus didn't have that body in heaven. He didn't look like that. But when Jesus walked up, guess what? They said, we know you, Jesus, Son of God. Amen. Are you come to torment? They know you. And God gave us evidence of that when them seven boys said, we cast you out in the name of Jesus who Paul preached. I cast you out in the name of Jesus who my mama worshiped, my daddy worshiped, my pastor told me about. No, them demons gonna expect you to know Jesus. Because you ain't your pastor, you ain't your mama, you ain't your daddy. They know them. I don't even come over your house because of your mama. Every time I come around your house, she goes straight into prayer. And we ain't going into the abyss, so we don't even come in your house. That's out. But you got your own apartment now. And you ain't your mama, you ain't your daddy. You don't know Jesus like them. We finna break your stove. Amen. Can you imagine what happened to that house? I mean, imagine this. one man beating the crap out of seven men. Can you imagine what that house looked like? Because they came out naked and bloody. Can you imagine what that demon, how did he beat them out their clothes? He beat them out their clothes and then started trying to beat them. Surely they was going to beat them out their skin. Amen. Them boys got up out of there. They went and found Paul and said, man, we want to know Jesus for real. Amen. The same thing happens to us if we don't allow transformation to take place. Amen. So start reading your Bible. Start internalizing it. Start operating in it and watch your life change. Because we allow them to come into our space. Like Sarah said, we allow them to come into our space and just start doing things. Just start saying things. They come up and tell us, you ain't this. And we like, you know, I ain't nothing. They say, you ain't never going to have nothing. You know, I ain't never going to have nothing. I don't even know why I'm alive. Talk back to them. When they came up to Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God, yes. Mr. Jesus, then make these rocks turn into bread, because you've been out here 40 days and 40 nights with no food or water, no water even washed up. You don't even smell right. Turn these rocks into bread. Amen. What did Jesus do? You know, God must hate me. I thought I was coming here to save people. Now I'm out here. I don't got no food. I don't smell right. My hair nappy. I don't know what to do. I don't know why God treated me like this. No, he spoke back to that devil and told him something different. Man ain't going to live by bread alone. I love God so much. I don't care if I die. I ain't serving you. Amen. You can't just let him talk to you. You can't let him tell you you sad and ain't never going to be happy. You can't let him tell you broke and ain't never going to get paid. You cannot let him just tell you that kind of stuff. You have to respond to him with what God said. When Jesus responded to the devil those three times, Aaron, he lumped him up real good. And the devil like, okay, I got to go. Okay, this fight ain't working. I ain't winning. I ain't getting no kind of victory. My head hurt. So he had to go. And then guess what? Angels came and ministered to him. You want angels to come and minister to you? Beat the crap out the devil. Amen. And stop letting angels have to put you in the back of the ambulance and carry you to heaven hospital to fix you back up because the devil will just beat the crap out you. Amen? Amen. Beat him up. Tell him what thus saith the Lord. Tell, even when you start beating you up, tell yourself what thus saith the Lord. Because the devil would be like, Jesus, I be trying to beat them up, but they beat me to the punch. They wake up and start beating themselves. Oh, it's going to be a bad day. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to see these people. This is not good. It's not good. And then we go out the devil, and the demons just pile on, and your whole day like that. Amen. Excuse me. What you want to do, amen, is give them a bad day. You got to wake up like Dignus Clyburn. You got to say, this is the day that the Lord have made. I don't care what you demons and devils do. I'm going to what? Rejoice and be glad. Who did that in the Bible? Paul and Silas. They got beat up and tore up and throw up in jail. Amen. And what did they do? Praise God at midnight. The devil hates that. Surely he hates that. He hates you wearing that. Blessed. He don't even want you to know you're blessed. He wants you to wear sad. He wants you to wear disquieted. He wants you to wear upset. He don't want you to wear blessed. You know what blessed means? Happy are you. So when they see that, leave her alone. She know. Amen. But they know if you know or don't know. So don't be untransformed. And then he talks about our gifts in chapter 12 and how we're supposed to be humble with them. And Paul uses the analogy in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and over here that we are all part of a body. I can't stump my toe because I don't like it. If I do, my whole body is going to be infected. Have you ever hit your toe? You've been walking and hit your toe and your whole body say, oh, we all hurt. We all hurt. Yeah. Sit down. Hold your foot out. Ask Jesus to fix it. The whole body immediately goes into emergency mode. You ever pull a hair out? Whole body senses that. The whole body. That means we're inter and interconnected. I need you. I don't care what your job is. I need you. I can't sing. Okay? So I need people like Sarah and them who are willing to come up here and do that. I can't teach every Bible class because I don't know everything. So Jesus rounded up a whole bunch of teachers.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
We all belong to each other. And the Lord has given each one of us a gift that not only functions in the church, but functions in the world.
Amen.
In both places. If you have the gifts of help, then be helpful. Don't be like, I don't like helping people. Well, you have the gift of help. You know, if you have the gift of service, then serve people.
Amen.
If you have the gift of generosity or giving, then give.
Amen.
If you have the gift to prophesy or preach or proclaim, then preach and proclaim.
Amen.
Whatever the Lord has gifted you to do, operate in that. And you know on our church website, all you have to do is go, I think it's to Bible classes, and you'll find spiritual gift assessment.
Yep.
Find out what your gifts are. And then the ones that you score high in, operate in them. Amen? How can you be in a body and not know what part you are? That'd be like my thumb, like, you know, you seem to know a lot and you're real tight with Jesus. What am I? Your thumb. How do you think the position that you have in this church, how do you think you got it? Jesus told me, pay attention. He said, pay attention and you'll see what they automatically do. Pay attention. You'll see what they automatically do. That's why Crystal, she do that Saturday thing. Right? Because she do that thing. She do that thing on the phone. She do that thing. So, boom, that's your position. Amen? Jesus says, just pay attention to them and see what they do. The more of them you get to do, praise the Lord. Okay, y'all have figured it out neat, right? I mean, digging this. You figured it out, right? The more y'all do, the less I have to do. You know, I know pastors who do everything. They're the only gifted person in the church. Ain't nobody in the pews got no gifts, just the pastor. Pastor preach every single Sunday. Amen. Do everything. Nothing can happen here unless it come through me. No, everything can happen here. It ain't got to come through me. I just have to know Jesus wanted. And if you, when you know when I put you in a position, I do not micromanage. Amen. You're on your own. Work that thing out. And I don't ask you to come up here and help me preach. I ain't help you do it. Amen. I ain't trying to count no money. I ain't trying to do no church business stuff. I ain't doing none of that. That ain't my job. That's their job. Amen. That ain't my job. I can't serve everybody. So Jesus sent people who can serve. Amen. Now, all our gifts are not just for the church. If that were the case, everybody in the church would have to be in some kind of auxiliary. And y'all know, we don't have no auxiliaries. Amen. So your work has to be the work Jesus gave you. But the point that the Lord is making is, and 1 Corinthians first tells us that the Holy Spirit, excuse me, when we were baptized into the body of Christ and he placed us in the body of Christ, he also gave us a gift. He can give you one, he can give you two, and he can give you gifts over time. He can mount them up over time. As you mature in the faith, he adds more giftings to you because he knows you're going to use them. But in the story in Matthew 25, in the story I think Luke 13 or 10 or 19, where he gives out those gifts, he gives them according to your ability. Now, that doesn't mean your ability is not going to grow. And that means he's going to give you more gifts and more gifts and more gifts. And when I joined the church, I was gifted to maybe make it to church once a year. And after learning how to go six times, I had to join the same church. I finally learned. Well, Jesus made me a pastor. That's how I learned. But anyway, amen. As I grew and matured, when I stopped doing my own thing and started, my pastor told me, yeah, you got the word of God in your head, but not in your heart. And so I got super mad at him and walked out the office, tried to take the door with me. Amen. Yeah, I tried to take the door with me, but you know, the Lord Jesus said, the only reason that's bothering you like that, because you know it's true. You know what you're doing. You know where you go. You're supposed to be here on church on Sunday, and where are you? You're at the drag strip. What's your Sunday school doing? I'm like, I don't know, Jesus, I'm out here. Exactly. Exactly. I was that not bright that I was like, I don't know, Jesus. Like, you just walk right into that, you know. Exactly. Amen. So we have these gifts from God, and he wants us to use them. But first you have to know what they are. And that's why we encourage you to go to the website, take the assessment. You're going to, and don't lie to the assessment. Don't tell it stuff it want to hear. Tell it the truth, and it's going to tell you the truth about the percentage or the level of gifting you have in that area. And it's seven major areas, but if you find out that you have a 2 on one gear and a 10 on the other gear, that doesn't mean the 2 gift is not in you. That means it's there but needs to be built up. Add to your faith, right? Isn't that what Peter tells us? Now, add to your faith. You have faith, add to it. You have a gift, become better in using it. Amen? That's what the Lord wants. But most of all, he wants us to be humble. I don't care what your position in the church is, pastor, whatever, pew member, whatever your position is, whatever your gifting is, be humble. Understand, God gave you that. You didn't create that in yourself. That's just me. No, it ain't. God made you you. Before God sent you here, he instilled certain things in you. Like, I didn't have to learn, go to school to become an auto mechanic. I got my first car. Back in the day, you could be like half age. I was 15 and a half. I don't know what happened to that today. You just one age, but you could be 15 and a half. You didn't get 2 birthday parties. Amen. You just had one on your day, but you could be 15 and a half. At 15 and a half, my mother told me not to go buy a car because Diggleless was running well. She said, you can't own no car. You don't know how much it costs to keep one. I'm like, you just don't want me to have one. So I went and lied to my brother's, my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my brother's wife's mother. I went and lied to her. Yeah, I figured out sooner or later it'll come to me. Amen. I went and lied to her, told her my mother, yeah, my mother said, I can buy this car, $25. Yeah. That car drove one time. It drove from Waring and Otter Drive to 15th Street, never ran again. Fine, turns out you have to need, you got to have water in them. I mean, digging his chambers, you got to have water in them. A lot of them don't do so hot without water. And that make the motor cook up. And when I got to the crib, I thought somebody was under the hood barbecuing. I didn't know what was going on. Oh, amen. Be humble. God gave me the gift of mechanics. Well, I put myself in that position and learned that I'm a mechanic. And then in 1980, I went to school for it. And that was the only time ever when I went to school. That's the only time I came out at the top of the class. Well, I was number 2. The guy worked on motorcycles beat me out. But I was number 2. At the top of the class, never missed a day, was never late. Please, the church I missed continuously and late for everything on purpose. I used to go to church late because I didn't want to be there that long. We had, because we had the early morning service, right? And so I was there at 7. Then we had the Sunday school. Then at 11, and Lord help if it's an afternoon program, Marcus, because now I can't even go to the crib. I got to stay for the afternoon program. But you know how I got out. Cheryl, you know how I got out. Remember they used to say, if you're not coming back this afternoon, leave offering. Here, take the whole wallet. See you next week. Because I ain't coming back this afternoon. Don't tell me that. My pastor used to be like, where was you at? Well, they said if I wasn't coming back, leave offering. My offering was here. And I was here in the spirit. Praise God. I started going to church in the spirit. They still made me kick me out. Amen. Didn't you feel me? I felt you. But they weren't feeling people back then, right? That came later. Amen. So find out what your gift is and be humble about it, because God gave it to you for the good of the whole body of Christ and everybody that needs that gift to work for them. Amen. He closes the chapter out with a real touchy subject to all of us. Now, after all he said in chapter 12, he says, now you got to put love in action. He said, let love be sincere, not fake love. Amen. Always stand in front of Jesus and know, let him be your judge. Is your love real or is it fake? See, if you got fake love, you can't forgive people when they do something to you. That's fake love. And the reason that God is not, now God didn't make them do that to you, but he's trying to expose to them they whack, and he's trying to expose to you, you need to learn how to love like God loves. Let love be sincere. Jesus told a story over in Matthew 18. Crystal, I had to immediately unlock my prison that I used to drag around with me with the people in it who had did me wrong. You're in my prison. I got you locked down. You ain't never getting out. Thinking about giving you the death penalty. So anyway, I'm dragging my little cage. Got my people in it. We get to chapter 18 of Matthew. We get to verse 22, and the Lord tells this story because Peter walks up to Jesus and say, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sinned against me? Now, the Pharisees taught 3 times, then you can whack them out, okay? But Jesus told Peter said, up to 7 times. So he was trying to be magnanimous, right? Up to 7 times, Jesus, I know the Pharisees say 3, but I'm Peter, 7 times. Y'all know Peter, he'd be cutting people's ears off. You ain't forgiving nobody. Amen. Jesus tell you to give up, get up, weapons, the first thing you do is cut somebody's ear off. Anyway, he tells this story. He said, it's to this man, he's a manager of this other man's money. Okay? He done messed up a whole bunch of money, Pastor Tate. He done messed up a whole bunch of this man's money. And he's just angry. So he said, bring him in. We need to talk. What's up? So he comes in. He say, you owe me $10 million. I need my money. Run that at me. He say, I ain't got your money. I've been living a high life. I done spent it all up. So I ain't got your money. Now y'all know I cough, right? And I'm married, right? Look at Jonathan. Okay. Oh, I'm gonna learn how to use it in a minute, Lance. I'm gonna get it. There you go. See, I'm getting closer. Amen. So he said, hey, I need my money. Run that at me. He's like, I ain't got your money. But if you just give me a chance, I'll get your money. He said, man, sell him. Sell his wife, sell his kids, and all this property. And if it ain't enough, he gonna work till he pay me my money. Man, I'm gonna pay you back, dog. For real. I get paid next week, but you don't work no way. I get paid next week. I'm gonna pay you back. Everything I owe you, I'm gonna give back to you, okay? My man look at him and say, okay. You don't even have to pay me back. I'll let you go. Wow. So he goes out and see Homeo. He say, chiropractic, where my money at, man? You owe me $100. Where my money at? Chiropractic say, man, check this out. I just got a job, but I'm going to get my check for 2 weeks. I'm going to pay you back. I'm going to pay you back every penny I owe you. You know what he told chiropractic? Oh, for real? That's how you going to play me? Debt police, come on over here. Your boy is in debt. He ain't got my money. What's up? So they took him and threw him in jail till his debt paid. But then some homeos who was in the court with him, they're like, oh, no, he didn't. Oh, let's go snitch him straight out. So they went back to the man who he owed money to. You know what your boy did? Correspondingness? You know what he did? He went and found chiropractic who owed him $100, who he could have paid him back. Would have took a while, but that could be paid back. You forgave him of a debt that couldn't be paid back. And he threw chiropractic in jail. That's all we saying. He's like, oh, what? What? Go get your boy. Go get him. Bring him up in here. So they brought him up in there. What was his name? Spunnicus? They brought him up in there. He said, Spunny, is it true what I'm hearing? And the people who told him, like, I didn't tell him. But he said, is it true? I forgave you a $10 million debt. You went and found somebody who owed you $100 and had them thrown in prison. Oh, wow. He sat there and started boiling, Marcus. He looked like boiling grits by the time he got that mad. Because the Bible literally says in his anger, he told him, take his family, take his kids, take his property, everything he owns, throw him in debtor's prison and let him stay there till the debt is paid. Now, here's the scary part. This is what Jesus said to Peter at the end of that story. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each one of you when you, from your hearts, don't forgive men when they sin against you. Now, is it worth it to keep hating that person? Is it worth it to keep being mad at that person? So the Lord says, let love be what? Sincere. And what does sincere mean? What is he talking about? Sincere love recognizes that God has forgiven you, us, of everything. And we're going to try to hold somebody else accountable? We're not going to forgive like God? You know, I want that feeling. I want to know what it feels like to just let it go. My wife and I, people, every year, we would go $3,000 in debt. Not us, them, in money they owed us. And every year, the Lord would come to me and say, let it go. I'm like, see, Jesus, this ain't heaven. And you know, everything ain't free down here. And you know, and I'm like, you let go. It didn't matter, Aaron, how I felt. I just had to do what he said. See, that's sincere love. See, love, we think it's an emotion. No, love is an action. Love is an action. Okay, so you don't have to feel nothing. You just have to do it. I don't expect the doctor to say, I love you as, I love being your doctor. No, I expect him to fix me when I'm broke. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You don't have to love me. You don't have to even like me. No. But just do what I'm asking you to do. And so the Lord says, let love be what? Sincere. And if you sincerely love somebody, then you're going to love them. Jesus said, love people. Jesus said, love them like what? I have loved you. Yes. So did Jesus not forgive you?
Yes.
But you cannot forgive them. So they've done something worse to you than what you do to God every day.
Amen.
And somehow in your heart, you feel like, yeah, Jesus don't want me to forgive him. He understands. No, he don't. No, he don't. I asked my pastor, Reverend Earl M. Brown, one time. We was going into his house, and I was kind of jerky and shaky. And he said, bud, what you done did? I got you jerking and shaking. So I told him. And I asked him, how do you know if you're sinning or not? And you know what he told me? He said, if you can't say to God, God bless me for what I just said, what I just did, then you probably in sin. Amen? We don't want to be in the sin of unforgiveness. We don't want to be there. We want to be like God, to love like God loves. He also taught me that when you feel unconfessed, when you know the feeling you get when you know Jesus has forgiven you? When you realize he has let that thing go and the only person remembered is you, he done threw it into the sea of forgetfulness. Amen. It's drowned in his forgiveness. Amen. You don't get that feeling when you don't forgive. If you don't forgive people when they sin against you, then neither will God forgive you when you sin against him. That feeling that you get knowing God has forgiven you, you're a Christian who's walking around in guilt and condemnation. But you don't have to be in guilt or be convicted of being an unforgiving Christian. God wants you to be like him. God so loved the world that loved him back that he... Oh, don't say that. God so loved the world and the people who act right all the time didn't say that either. Amen. As I close, the Lord says, don't take vengeance. Let me be real quick with this. The Lord, listen to this and don't ever forget this. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. God is, one of his moral attributes is what? Righteousness and justice. If you never get righteousness and justice from man or somebody that should give it to you, guess what? God gonna get it. Amen. He is righteous, he is just, and he is going to repay. Nobody gets to cuss somebody out. Nobody gets to gossip about somebody. Nobody gets to do anything against God, a sin before God, and get away with it. He says, I will repay. So when you take vengeance, you're robbing God. Yeah. Or you playing God. Let God get the vengeance. Again, Paul, as I close, Paul and Silas in the jail, right? Who they take vengeance on? Did they take vengeance on the jailer who locked them up in solitary confinement with their arms chained to the wall and their feet fastened in the stock? No, they led him to Christ. Did they take vengeance against the people who was in jail with them, who was probably mocking them? Y'all Christians, y'all got that God, what you doing in here? They got saved. And even the magistrates who had locked them up without a trial, just based on what the people said, they escorted them out of town. That's how God wants us. If people in this world are going to see a loving, kind, caring God, guess who they're going to see? You, me. We're the face of God. Yes. We're the image and likeness of God. Amen. You know, when Philip, I'm going to close with this one for real close. This third time, so it's for real close. When Philip said, show us the Father, right? And that will suffice us. And Jesus looked at Philip and said, how can you say to me, show us the Father? You don't believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've heard me, you've heard the Father. When people see us, do they see Jesus? When people hear us, do they hear Jesus? The way to overcome vengeance, the way to overcome people who have done wrong to you is to do good to them. If your enemy hungry, what? Feed them. If your enemy thirsty, what? Give them something to drink. In doing so, guess what you're doing? Heaping coals of fire on their head. You're working on that conscience. Overcome evil with good. My real close. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for these 12 chapters that you have imprinted on our hearts from the book of Romans. Yes. We thank you, Father, for everything that is contained in this book that is so awesome and good for us. And Lord, we want to be like you. No longer will we make people say, if that's what Christianity turned you into, then I ain't never going to church. We want people, Jesus, to want what we have. The woman at the well, Jesus, was so enamored with you and so charged up and so passionate, even though she had five husbands and the one she had wasn't hers. When she went back to town talking about come see a man and told me everything I ever did, she looked so much like you that they followed this woman to you. Jesus, help us to look like you. Help us to talk like you. Help us to love like you. Help us to serve like you. You washed your disciples' feet. We don't even want to see people's feet outside their shoes, Lord, but we want to be like you. Jesus, you said these things. You said, the works that I do with these hands, my Father working through me. You said, the words that come out of my mouth, my Father speaking through me. You said, wherever the Father is, there is the Son. You said, you always did those things that pleased your Father. Help us to be like you, Jesus. We want to be just like you. In your name, we pray and give you all the thanks, the honor, and the glory. Amen.
Amen.